Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet. Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, and it's May 13th, just 2 days until Pleiadian lineup, which is our topic for this first part of a two-part show. The second half will air on Saturday, the 15th, at 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Most people have never heard of Pleiadian lineup, but if you have, then you've had indirect or maybe direct contact with my co-host. Lavendar's records of her remarkable work with Pleiadians cover over 25 years as a first-hand witness to ET demonstrations and participant in their projects, while she chronicled her otherworld journey as their scribe and emissary. Her assignments have included mentoring celebrities, politicians, and many high-profile people, a consultant for inventors of sustainable green technology, author of two books, Quartz Crystals, A Celestial Point of View, and 50 Questions and Answers, and her discovery of star markings in an astrological chart, and most recently, using her website, starseedhotline.com, to empower Starseed to better serve the planet by reading and decoding their star markings as a master of galactic astrology. Today we're approaching what she calls Pleiadian lineup. It's an astronomical as well as an astrological event that happens twice a year in May and November and is about to begin on the 15th. You can see a video slide interview on her website that gives you the inside view of a past Pleiadian lineup event when Lavendar stood as facilitator in the Great Pyramid of Giza when the Pleiadian ship came to begin the walk-in demonstration. This show will be the first of a two-part episode on Pleiadian lineup, and the second half will air Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time as the window opens. I also want to mention that Lavendar's two books will be available as e-books in June. We'll be taking calls at the end of the show, and if you're listening to us afterwards, you're invited to ask your questions at starseedhotline.ning.com. That's N-I-N-G, starseedhotline.ning.com. And now, I'd like to welcome Lavendar.
Thank you, Arielle. Today we have a really, really special program, one that really pinpoints the Pleiadian lineup, which is this May, May 15th through the 20th, and of course November 15th through the 20th. The main days that I look at, though, are the 17th, 18th, and 19th of May and November, because there's a three-day window of activation when the Pleiadians come and go from our planet, because the sun will be rising and setting with the Pleiades to Earth. This is an astronomical event. It's an astrological event, and we call it Pleiadian lineup for those of us that want to be reminded of these dates. And why do we want to be reminded? Because a lot of us are here working with the Pleiadians. Some of us are Pleiadians, some of us are not. However, the Pleiadians have the experiment on the planet at this time. They have more programs running with their star children, their indigos, and more walk-ins. And I must say that the walk-ins that came last November by the millions, not the thousands, by the millions, will be activated in full motion after this next Pleiadian lineup. The codes happen for them this way. They come down, they take a body attachment, which means a Pleiadian can be standing next to you, walking with you every day. You get to remain as your own soul and as your own mission, but you have a Pleiadian that walks with you, that gives you instructions, that helps you make wise decisions, keeps you out of harm's way, and keeps you flowing with your mission. I had an example happen today with a really charming lady. Her name is Elizabeth, and she wanted a chart reading, and so I did her chart, and in the chart I realized that she had really chosen her chart in such a special way. In other words, she was on a ship, she knew that she needed to come back to the planet. She wasn't on a Pleiadian experiment, and there were several things that she wanted to activate in her life, and she had to find a car, a vehicle, with which to come to have certain things activated in her body. And they were real specific things that would be time-coded and released later in her life. And one of them was a 26-degree Libra rising with a Uranus at 27 Libra on her ascendant, which would give her the power and the momentum to be balancing beam for changes that would happen on the planet for star seeds, and especially for her children. And the children's marking comes over on her fifth house, which indicates that she would really have within her bloodline information that would come from Atlantis, information having to do with Athena, the 96 goddesses. Everything in her chart came up to the Pleiadian experiment as far as I could tell. The other thing that happened as we were talking, her voice print, I realized that in a person's voice are codes in a voice print that activate files in my head, and it gives me the access to download the information more about the person. So when I saw that in her second house, she had a 25 Scorpio that matched the 8th house, 25 Taurus, that was the Pleiadian code for activation from May to November. So I knew that she was here to really be part of the Pleiadian experiment. And when she first heard our radio show, Ariel, she was pregnant just a few months, and her husband came in while the radio show was, while our teleconference was going on, and laid on top of her. And she said, "Why are you on top of me? I'm pregnant." And she said this glaze came over his eyes, and she had to push him off. And all of a sudden he said, "I'm a Pleiadian doctor. I came to check on the baby." So that was very, very startling for me to hear that while we were doing our teleconference, which was she had, you know, on speakerphone laying there hearing us talk months ago while she was pregnant, that this would happen. And at that time, we were talking about the Pleiadian lineup. So you talk about synchronization and clarity about that. Also, I said to her, I said, "You know, you have a marking over here that shows that in March that you would meet your husband at a certain time. You had an agreement to meet every March." And I said, "Did you meet your husband in March?" And she said, "Yes, I met him March 23rd. I said, "Well, the activation actually happens on Athena's birthday on March 20th. She was really amazed that I was able to pinpoint the time when she would meet her husband. And her husband and she are really part of a great team to bring forth some beautiful crystal indigo children. And I really think that they're going to be scientists and inventors from Atlantis that are going to come and bring really responsible technology back to the planet." So I thought that maybe I would share with you today an example of a Pleiadian experiment in a chart. If you have any questions about this, I'd be happy to answer.
So if you have the mark of the Pleiades in your chart, you may be Pleiadian, you may be working with them, or be attached to one of them.
Right. And as I said, the ones that came this past November, it takes a while maybe to get adjusted to some of the cause and effect that's already in motion with the occupant, and so they really probably won't be making such a huge dramatic entrance into the world, but after May we're going to see millions of Pleiadians go into motion, and changes are going to really start happening. And I'm talking about the exchange of world leaders and new technologies coming forth that are responsible, and some of the criminals on the planet that have been polluting and runneth amok, including the greed monsters of Wall Street. A lot of stuff's going to start changing after May. You know, some people are going to be very unhappy about the stock market and real estate and things that they own. A lot of people are going to go to jail. They're going to be, you know, exposed for the criminals that they are. A lot of people will be happy about this. On the other hand, some will be unhappy because they have their money maybe in the stock market or places where they're going to lose. And I'm talking about some of the light workers on the planet and some of the people that have been responsible will be caught up. And there's going to be another Ponzi scheme that's going to be exposed, much grander than the ones that we've been, you know, attested to before. And some of the world leaders, I must say that there's going to be exchange happen. The exchange has probably happened already, but the activation and the acknowledgement of, you know, the entrance and exits of power in certain countries is going to take place. And there might be a few assassinations. If they're not willing participants in this Pleiadian program, then they'll just simply be taken out. That is the way the program is set up. I'm also feeling like that we're going to have some educational changes take place. In other words, instead of people going to school to learn the things that they're being taught right now, they'll be trained. New programs of education are coming forth that's going to recognize astrology, telepathy, enhance some of these children's gifts. There's going to be things put in motion that will rectify some of the educational programs that we have now. And they will encompass some of the new technologies because most of the kids are learning what they're learning now through computers and through digital information. You know, the Teton meetings that happen in January. They happen in January from 1, the 1st to the 7th, and July 1 through 7. So in the last meeting, it was really pointed out to us that we must be more tolerant of others that are different from ourselves, because a lot of beings are going to come through bodies from the Pleiades, and some of them are going to act up a little bit because they'll be running on someone else's program, and a program that's locked in pretty strong, and it's kind of hard to take your foot off the accelerator. So it's like a lot of Pleiadians that are coming may be shown in a bad light, like they may go on a drunk for a week, or they may beat their wife, or they may do something very outlandish. And it's like, oh, you know, how can they be Pleiadian and act that way? Well, because the car and the accelerator is stuck. And until something jars it loose, can they really then function?
It's like jumping into a speeding car and trading places with the driver, and the foot stuck on the gas is going to take some time to correct his mistakes and his programs. I can see
right.
What you're saying there.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know when and I thought it was so lovely that when Elizabeth chose to be born, she chose to be born in a foreign country and with a family that she really didn't identify with, and she had a lot of karmic records in America, but she had to have this car. She had to have the physical vehicle because she had promised, you know, to her soulmate, and she had promised to the children she was going to have that she would have to have this car that had, you know, roll up windows and a radio and a, you know, special equipment in the car. That's the way I look at it. She had to have this for the bloodline to pass on to her kids.
On an individual basis, knowing of this alignment coming up in May, how can we maximize our presence here and the knowledge of that timing?
Well, the first thing is to acknowledge that it's happening and to be aware that what you ask for three times, especially if you're on a Pleiadian experiment with them, if you ask something three times, they really, it's like turning on your radio and you're getting the frequency of the Pleiadian station that's being beamed down. You know, ask three times and there it is. That's one of the things. The other thing that I would say is be very, very conscious of people that are around you and people that are kind to you, and even people that are mean to you. Just be very aware of the interaction, because a lot of Pleiadians will come down and run tests on you. They'll be at the grocery store, at the drug store, at the dry cleaners. You don't know exactly when you're going to run into one. And they'll be finding out what your interchange of energy is with by looking at the eyes, by seeing how you're treating your fellow humans. It's a, you know, it's kind of a, it's kind of like they walk around with a clipboard and they're checking off different things with different people that they're looking at. Does that make sense?
Inspection at boot camp.
Yes, it is. It is a Pleiad inspection. That's true. That is very, very, very true.
I had this picture of Starseed knowing the timing and having a point at which during this window they all put out a single intent.
Yes. You know, there are several groups around the country that find days, like the 1111 group. That 1111 group is so strong and so powerful. And I know that it was like, I don't know how many years ago, back in the early 1900s, when that first started happening. There's an interesting story. I can't really recall all of it right now, but I know that several people were led to come to Mount Shasta on 1111. And at 1111, at that time, a giant ship came down and gave them all instructions and said that this would be a date when certain Arcturian ships, Pleiadian ships, Sirian ships, that's another date when on the planet they come and activate the intent. This is a strong intention day. Intention day for the planet and its people to move upward in frequency and in balance, and to also put the clarion call out, stop polluting the planet, stop polluting the children's minds with disharmonic music, disharmonics at any level. It's a clarion call. 1111 is a clarion call. And, you know, sometimes I, you know, look at the clock, and sure enough, it's 11:11. Like this morning, when I called Elizabeth, it was 11:11 for her time, not mine, but hers. And so, therefore, it opens up a frequency and a window. It's like it's another digital radio station that jumps to another radio station, that goes to a television station, that goes to a satellite. That all of a sudden it's 26 degrees of Sagittarius Galactic Center. That's just kind of how it works in my head. That's the best way I can describe it.
So the reason that the 1111 group is so powerful is because they know how to combine their intent?
Yes, it's an intention group.
Okay, and so for Pleiadians, people with the Pleiadian markings and programs that they know of, if they, you know, been drawn to the Pleiades, how can we combine our intent? And what would you say if the whole group was going to get together and say, focus on one thing? What should that be?
You mean like pick a day and a time?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Well, I would say when the sun would be on this Pleiadian lineup, I would say when the sun is 26 degrees, which I think is going to be on the 18th this year. I'm not sure. I think it's the 18th. And I would do 11:11. When you pull in an 11:11 on a 26 degree Taurus Pleiadian sign, you have a double whammy. So you have a frequency to the Pleiades, but at the same time you have a strong intentional time. And 11:11, of course, you'd have to designate the times and all the time zones.
Right.
So that would have to go on for, you know, like for 12 hours at least, you know, for people in their time zone, whenever they choose it, they would know that 11:11 would be happening with a group somewhere. Actually, I would say the intention this time for this one would be the acknowledgement of the millions of walk-ins that are on the planet, and for them to have safety and protection with their coming out party. That'd be one thing. And I must say that as I'm doing these charts, more and more information is fed to me about information that maybe consciously I didn't know before. So as I do more charts, as more people order charts off of our hotline, I tell you, it is really incredible the amount of information that seems to pour through me at this time, especially with the approaching Pleiadian lineup that we have. You know, I've been doing so many charts lately, and the more charts that I do, the more information is being fed to me about how the Pleiadians really operate on the planet. And when I see these 25, 26, 27 degrees and some of the other star markings that I've been tracking, I am really, really confident about the voice prints that I get from people. I look at their natural states. I look at their rites of passage. And by the end of the day, I'm so overwhelmed sometimes by the immensity of how these Pleiadian experiments are actually conducted on the planet, that I have to go out and dig in the dirt and you know, plant flowers or do gardening work, because it is so, so overwhelming. And yet it's so wonderful for me to be able to access these records. And I've been doing this work for a very, very long time, but just recently I've been able to access even further records and further information about Pleiadian lineup and how it really, really shows in a person's chart if they really are tied to these experiments.
And do you think that that's because we're getting closer and closer to those shifts?
We have many shifts that are coming. But we have, yes, the shifts at all levels and all dimensions. And I must say, this program called Fringe that's on television is probably more true than people really know. And it's about an interlocking world space where another parallel world just like ours is coexistence with us. And there's times when we go back and forth and we get to interchange with our other selves in these times and places. And I think you're going to be hearing more and more about some of the scientists that have uncovered this reality. And I'm really happy to see that the show Fringe has been showing this.
Well, do you think that would account for people that have seem to have split personalities or bipolar? They've been diagnosed as bipolar. Could it be some of those?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I think that a lot of people... You know, it's one thing to have a psychic experience or have a ghost show up or an astral show up or an ET show up, but to wake up and be in another world for 5 minutes and it's another world and then step back, yeah, I think that the doctor would tell you that you're beyond bipolar. You're hallucinatory, you know, you're having hallucinations and you're bipolar and here, take a pill.
Right. Take a pill. And if that one doesn't work, we're going to add another one to it because two-thirds of them don't work in the first place.
Right.
That commercial cracks me up. I guess, like, who would go and get that? A little off the subject there.
There was a time back in 1981 when I was on Catalina Island, and I was instructed to send some crystals by a friend of mine named Elizabeth. She took the crystals to Cairo, Egypt, and it was on Pleiadian lineup that she was to take them inside the pyramid. And I think that must be when I really first started understanding about Pleiadian lineup. And I had such a horrific experience when she came back with the crystals. I remember picking her up at the airport at 2 a.m. and putting her in a limousine, taking the crystals from her, going to a motel, checking in, and I was ready to leave the next day for Catalina, and the man that I was with said, you know what, I think that we should just stay right here. And I said, yeah, but it's, you know, it's Thanksgiving, and I want to cook, you know, the chicken and dressing and my mom's recipe, and I just started whining, and this look came over him, and his eyes got very stern. He says, we're not going. We're just not going. So I pouted a little bit and then turned on the TV, and the helicopter that was taking us to Catalina had crashed right off the coast of Long Beach on the way to Catalina. And that's the one we would have been on, and that's the one that the crystals somehow knew and spoke in a very strange way to us to say, you don't get on the helicopter and you don't go to Catalina. I did take the crystals to Catalina, and then it was very sad for me because that was the week that Natalie Wood died, and I was on the island at the time. And when I heard the news, I will never forget. I was doing dishes, and my friend came in and said, "Oh, you will never believe, you know, what has happened." And he told me, and as I was taking an iced tea glass and putting it down, it left my hand, floated in the air, and floated all the way down to the ground and did not crash. I'll never forget that. It was like a simultaneous moment of something that was, you know, was really... And then all of a sudden, I started bleeding, and I started passing kidney stones, and then we started having to get me off the island. That was just a whole another horrific story. But it was like the moment those crystals came back from Cairo, you know, stuff started happening. And that's when I can say that I really started tuning in to the Pleiadian lineup and some of the adventures that I was going to have in my forthcoming years on the planet would be tied to this Pleiadian lineup.
And did you know at that time that you were assigned to work with Natalie?
Yes, I was. And I had been told previously. I'd been in Flagstaff one day, and they came to me and gave me a list of some of the high-profile people that were starseeds and that would be asking for my assistance. And one of them was Natalie Wood. So I was very, very sad to see that she would not be in the realm of my protection and in my guidance. And so others, you know, stepped up to take her place. And maybe later on in the radio show, I'll talk about some of these people, and maybe I won't. You know, there is a record keeper that is in Cairo, Egypt. There's this huge, vast amounts of information that was brought from Atlantis and buried, you know, in the Hall of Records there in Giza. And occasionally, you know, trickery will just come along and snap that open, and all of a sudden I'm looking at it going, oh yeah, I forgot about that. And I'll be wandering around in my mind through these halls of records that came from Atlantis and all these computer systems, and I'll get really engrossed in it and then think, you know what, this doesn't have anything to do with me you know, doing dishes today or planting the garden or my everyday function. So I have to snap myself out of it. But I'm seeing more and more that I'm going back in time to the time that I was in Cairo. I was taken to these places. I was downloaded all this information from the Emerald Tablets and from Atlantean technology and so many other things that are hooked up to it. And one of the things that's hooked up to it, and this probably has to do with some of the work that I do now, is some of these records of the people are held in these crystal computers that are starseed now on the planet that go back clear to Atlantis. And the record-keeping place from these mad scientists and some of the technology boys, even the Tesla kids that are on the planet now, they come from, or I track from, this huge computer of crystalline measure that's in the Pyramid of Giza. And of course, when I was there in 81, the first set of crystals went with my friend Elizabeth. Then the second group, when I was told to go back, this time I went back, I put the announcement out. I said, look, I'm going. If anybody wants to show up, fine. And I said, I have no idea exactly what's going to happen except for one thing. I do know that the Pleiadians are going to come. They are going to choose some of us to do work on the planet. I don't know the specifics of it, but if you're willing, you're able, and if you think you want to be part of a Pleiadian experiment, then you show up in Cairo, Egypt on the 17th, 18th, and 19th of November of 1983. I had 18 people to show up. I had one famous actress and author to show up. I had a couple of scientists. I had astrologers. I had a really close friend of mine that I've been talking to ever since. And you know what? I have not really kept in touch with a lot of people that were in there, except recently I've had two to call me, and I have not talked to them for 25 years. So they're just now starting to resurface in my life, the people that were there on this Pleiadian experiment in 1983. And we took some Giza crystals. And the Giza crystals came out of the Jeffrey mine. We had 40 pounds of them. And they were activated, and these are tiny, tiny, tiny double-terminated crystals. I asked them how powerful they were, and they said, you have nothing on your planet with which to measure them, but they are 7 million times celestial power. And I've kept a record of a lot of these crystals that have been traveling around the world to PowerPoints and to different places. And, of course, on our website, I talk about the discovery of star markings, and I have my Ayers Rock story in there about how many, you know, 100 people, you know, were waking in the middle of the night saying, please take me to Ayers Rock. And, you know, I just don't know what's going to happen there, but there is this marking on the top of Ayers Rock, which matches a hieroglyphic that they found in a recent tomb that was just opened. And you know what it says? Time travel. Wow. It's like that really lit my bulb up. I just went, you know, they've been planning these huge demonstrations for a very long time. The immensity of waking a person up and having them buy tickets to get on airplanes to go to Australia and rent a car and drive out in the middle of nowhere to see this huge rock and plant this crystal. Wow. That's all I got to say.
That's way beyond Richard Dreyfuss in Close Encounters, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And I just, you know, I think of the other people that have written to me and how that they, you know, went to Washington, D.C. and planted them all over the monuments and in the water fountains and some of the key places, you know, in Washington, and how they've been activated at different times. Because every time planets start, you know, hitting that 25, 26, 27 degree marking, these crystals are activated. They're activated and open up doors and windows of curves and angles of space, things that are so beyond our comprehension, but they're balancing beams. They're balancing beams between nature and man. They also have a lot to do with the Devic kingdoms. You know, the Devic kingdoms are such another area of work on the planet, and they have to do with the crystal grid. And, you know, when we planted some of the crystals in Yucatan in the cave, I had one of the shocks of my life to actually see a fairy that stood about, I don't know, 3 to 5 inches tall. And she picked up one of these tiny, tiny little Giza crystals, and she made this really weird sound. And when she made this sound, you know, it's like more of them came out of from where they were. And I had people with us that got to see this. We had witnesses to this. And we were, of course, all very aghast at what we heard. But the thing that was told to me later was she was so excited about the information that she was getting from the crystal as she was making the noise, because they had not heard from Cairo, Egypt in 500 years.
Oh my gosh.
Can't tell you how much beer I drank after that. Well, I mean,
well,
you know, when you get to see...
your mind.
Well, when you see little people, and you know that, you know, they belong to the Devic world, and they are carriers and messengers of crystalline frequency. And, yeah, it really, it was a turning point for me. It was definitely a turning point for me.
And for them.
And for them. And then later, I couldn't get on the airplane and go to Palenque. But I sent two people in an airplane to plant the crystals. And I was instructed to have them go to a particular temple that was well hidden. It was hidden by brush. It took them a while to find it. And I said, here's the important thing about planting these crystals. The minute you plant them, get the hell out of Dodge. Because once that energy is released, there are some Devic energies that are kind of demonic in form now, that have been kind of playing there and using the energies for demonic purposes. And the minute that you plant these crystals, it's going to banish them and disconnect them, but they're going to see who did it, and they're going to chase you. And, of course, I'm sure they thought I was kidding. So they went ahead and planted the crystals, and they were on their way back. Just within 5 minutes, they turned around, and here were these huge globs of black clouds running on the ground that were chasing them to the airplane. They got to the airplane, and the pilot was just about ready to leave them, because when he saw this, he had already revved up the engine and was saying, I'm out of here. Uh-huh. And they barely made it back into the airplane and took off. These black clouds followed them all the way to Merida. And it was not the rainy season. It rained for 3 days and three nights.
Oh, my God.
Yep. This is part of the stuff I have in my journal that I'm going to be releasing, you know, with the books. And hopefully we'll have a movie called Crack Between the Worlds, because this is part of the adventures that come from there.
Crack Between the Worlds is a great title, and I'm sure there are many of us who feel like that's our home address. Well, we have about 10 minutes left here, Lavendar, and before we open the lines for callers, I want to thank you for your years of dedication to keeping the records for all of us to better understand who the Pleiadians are and how they operate. I know there's more to your presentation on Pleiadian lineup, and part two will air this Saturday as the event begins at 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. I'd like to invite everyone to visit your website, starseedhotline.com, and spend some time in the vault there to find more of your work. Now, if you have a question for Lavendar, the call-in number is 917-889-8292. 917-889-8292.
Lavendar, are you ready to take some questions?
Yes.
Okay. Caller from area 972, you're on the air. Hello? I can hear you. Caller 972 area code. You're on the air. Do you have a question for Lavendar? Well, they must be having some problems there.
Maybe their phone is muted.
If your phone is muted, you can unmute and ask your question. Well, we can continue. We have about 5 minutes left here. Was there any other points that you wanted to make on this preview to Pleiadian lineup, Lavendar?
Yes, I would like to say that if anyone wants to email me to Lavendar, L-A-V-A-N-D-A-R, at starseedhotline.com, and receive a copy of this Pleiadian alignment that I've written. It's about 6 pages. I'll be happy to send you the copy in a Word document. And, you know, truth knows its own source. And when you read it and it vibrates to you, you know it's true for you. Not all people are Pleiadian on the planet, of course. But during this time, the Pleiadians do have the run of the show. It is their turn. And I do say that I think some Pleiadians must have come to the planet a little early this year, because when I saw what happened over in England with the Prime Minister race, and, you know, he was supposed to leave in September, and the Queen says, no, you leave today, that looked pretty Pleiadian to me. And, of course, with this oil spill, I'm seeing some of the ramifications of, you know, the survival of the planet at stake. And so there's going to be a lot of issues that get front and center about our environment. You know, people weren't really paying that much attention before the spill happened. And now the focus is going to be there. And as these Pleiadians wake up all over the planet, millions of them, this is going to be an issue. It's going to be something that is going to be taken care of.
Well, I'm sure we're all glad to hear that.
Right.
We have another caller from 418 area code. You are on the air, caller. You have a question for Lavendar.
Yes, hello. I'm Stefan in Quebec City, Canada, and I'm really enjoying the show. Like her, I'm also celebrating the fact that we're in such environmental disarray, because now it presents all the troubles right in our face, and now we have to do something about it. My question in regard to the Pleiadians is, the other day, in my bedroom. I was in one of those states where you're just in between sleep and the waking period, and I sensed a smoke-like entity coming into the room. Felt rather androgynous, and I said to it, I'm not a religious person at all, but I did say to it, if you're in line with Jesus Christ, you can stay, and if not, I'm going to ask you to leave. Is this one of the ways that these beings manifest themselves?
And yes, and I must say to you that when Jesus came to the planet, he was part of a Pleiadian bloodline. Okay?
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Well, I didn't feel threatened at all.
Right, yeah, and because they do manifest in many different forms, because sometimes they'll look at your essence and they'll be able to tell what you can handle and what you can't. And so if they form, you know, if they come as a mist or as a shadow, it's only because that's the way they have of communicating with you. But I would say, just from hearing your voice, that you're going to have some very distinct experiences happening to you in the next 3 months. And I feel like you're going to be called upon to do a really extremely sensitive service of some kind. I don't know what kind of work you do. I don't know what your circumstances are, but I feel like...
Well, actually, I'm a public speaker in the ufology field.
Okay.
I have my own website, and I do a lot of talking on radio shows, but...
Okay, then you know
what? Yeah, that really rings true.
Well, guess what? Guess what? Where that's going to take you? Disclosure. Disclosure. You have no idea how close we are. And if you will send me your email address, I will send you a document that will talk to you more about disclosure and more about what the Pleiadians are planning for that period of time. And you may be able to use this in some of your work.
I'll get it on in the next 3 minutes. Thank you, Lavender.
Also, I want to tell you that, you know, the French president did bring over a 20-pound document and handed it to Obama and said, if you don't release this information, I'm going to.
Good. You know, so, one issue I take with, and not necessarily you, but the whole evil alien thing, I think one thing that people really need to focus on is that regardless of whether aliens are good or bad, they're still family.
Yeah, that's true.
They're still
it's
family
like, you know,
in
it's
entire
like
the universe.
It's like the grouchy old uncle that you have, or the senile aunt, or, I mean, everyone, I mean, we are family, and this is a huge experiment down here, and the balance is what we're all after. And, you know, those that align with greed and taking over possessions of land and people, you know, that's just another aspect of so below and so above are the same, you see. And we are their children, and some of them are very evolved, and some of them aren't in certain ways. Like, many of them don't have emotional records to display how, you know, we have emotions here because we're ruled by the moon, but they're not.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can teach them. We're pretty emotional.
Well, you know what? And you know what? They do come and observe. It is a classroom. Earth is a classroom for them.
Yeah.
I'd like to interject right here. We only have about 1 minute remaining.
Okay.
And we can continue to take callers and questions, but we'll be off the air. And then if you want to hear the callers and questions that you may have missed, it will be on the our show page in its entirety.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'll just go offline, but thank you very much for your work
but
Godspeed.
Okay, you got my email address, right?
No, but I'll look you up.
Well, it's Lavender, LAVANDAR, at starseedhotline.com.
Starseedhotline.com. I'll send it right
and
now.
And then I will send you the Word document back to you, okay? Thank you.
Okay. Could you repeat that just one more time, Starseed?
Okay. LAVANDAR at starseedhotline.com.
Got it. Sending it right now.
Thank you.
That address is also on our show page. We do have another caller that we're going to take, and even though we'll be going off the air, we will continue to record, so it will be on the archived version.
Okay, great.
So we have a caller from the 520 area.
Yes, hello.
Yes.
You ready for your question?
I had an experience. My name is Danielle. I've communicated with you today, Lavender.
Oh, yes.
Via email.
Hello. Yes, thank you.
Yes, it's great to get to talk to you. Anyhow, I'm newly awakened. I'm kind of trying to figure out what all this means. And I had an experience the other morning where I felt as if my brain had almost been hardwired to communicate with certain spirit guides, I guess. I don't know how to explain it, but it was this very clear dialogue going on in my head with me in my head. And I would like to reconnect, and I've not been able to duplicate the experience.
Well, it depends on how you are wired.
I guess so.
No, really. It has to do with, you know, there are some people that are wired for spirit communication. There are others that are wired for galactic communication. Galactic communication means that you're wired with high technology from spaceships. Spirit communication is astral communication, meaning people that are dead or still on the planet that want to talk to you. Those are two different sets of communications.
Right. I feel it's probably more of a galactic, but...
Yeah. So I sent you an email back, and if you order a chart and we have some special time, I think we'll be able to figure that out. So.
Okay, well, I did put in an order, and obviously
okay.
You were online, so or
okay.
on air, so we wouldn't have time. But
okay, good. Well, I'm glad that I sent you the email a while ago, hoping that you had time to get on the radio show.
Well, I'm glad I caught you, and I will look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Yes, I'll be calling you. You sent me your phone number, right?
Yes, all my information
okay,
is there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Well, Lavendar, I want to thank you so much for all the information, and you've given us all a lot to think about. We will be continuing with part two of Pleiadian Lineup on Saturday, the 15th, and that is just as the window opens. We will be on air at 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, so do the math for your time zone, and we will... be also taking callers at the end of that show. So if you have questions, please feel free to call in. And if your question was not answered today, you can also go to starseedhotline.ning.com and ask your questions there. That's our public forum. So, Lavendar, thank you so much. And
thank you.
Happy Pleiadian Lineup.
Okay, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.